Lee, how you doing today, sir?
Guys, good afternoon, good evening in Edmonton. How are you?
Oh, we're doing wonderful. We're still recovering after a very exciting day of football yesterday. We're going to get to that in 1 second, but I want to talk to you with some of the stuff off the field. It appears as Gary Kubiak has signed a four-year deal to coach the Broncos. At parts last week, he said he was happy in Baltimore, but anytime the chance to coach Peyton Manning props up, I guess you drop everything. Is this a good move for Kubiak to leave the Ravens to go to the Broncos?
Well, I think it's in his DNA. It's in his blood. He wants to be a head coach, and this is a much better job probably than some of the other ones that were open. Nobody this time last week would have thought that John Fox would have opted out or been asked to leave Denver. I think the thing that I find most intriguing, guys, is just the fact that John Elway's fingerprints are on everything in Denver. And I think over this last couple of years, the friction continued to grow between he and Fox, what they were doing offensively, changes in the playbook. It was becoming more and more like a John Fox, Carolina Panther offense, run the football, keep it close to the vest, play some defense. And that's not Peyton Manning's forte. And the other thing is, I think Elway was really upset at a lot of movement in the offensive line to the point from the middle of the season on, Manning just got battered and his quarterback rating dropped. He got dinged up pretty good. And some of that was mandated by John Fox's decision to move tackles to guards, guards to tackles, etc. So there was some deep internal stuff going on there. So I think from a Kubiak standpoint, even though he's a Bronco in heart and played there and was a backup there and all that, you know, will it be his team or will Elway really, you know, be looking over his shoulder, making all these recommendations? Because I get the sense that general manager is much more deeply involved in the day-to-day quote, football stuff than most general managers are around the league.
John Fox goes from Denver to now the head coach of the Chicago Bears. What's, I guess, priority number one for John Fox as he tries to get the Bears back to the playoffs for the first time in a while?
1A, fix the defense. It was terrible. A lot of injuries. That's part of the problem. 1B, fix the psyche of Jay Cutler. I think what they're going to do is they're going to be active. It's going to be John Fox football. They're going to go find another running back. And I think they're going to try to play a little power ball. And then obviously they still have Cutler, and they've got to work on him, his leadership abilities, et cetera. Cutler's not a young pup. We're not talking about a 24-year-old guy who's overwhelmed by everything around him. We're talking about a hired gun who's had some success, but I tend to think has really regressed. So I think Fox is a good coach. He gets people cranked up to play for him. But he's going to need more people, notably on the defensive side of the football.
Well, I love that you bring up Cutler because his body language, everything just looks like he's not a guy you want to play football with or quite frankly anything with. So
Jason, that's a really interesting point because we're, of course, here in the AFC West. I'm based in San Diego, former longtime voice of the Chargers. And over the last group of years, we saw Philip Rivers and Jay Cutler really become angry at each other during games and on the field. And you've got a passionate Rivers who would just do anything on behalf of his team. And, yeah, he's a little mouthy. And he got into it with Cutler like three times in a four-game span in divisional games. And the flip side is you got this nonchalance of Cutler. If he throws a pick, so be it. He just didn't seem to – he doesn't show the body language I want from a, quote, leader. And when
100%.
when you're paying that kind of money, you want a certain decorum in your huddle. You want a certain persona on the field, and I think you're correct. You hit it right on the nose. There's just something different about this guy from Vanderbilt.
I know he kind of asked you the question already, but are you surprised how quickly John Fox moved on to the next job, and then he chose the Bears?
Well, it's a really good coach. But I think you also have to have a management team in place that's going to accept who he is and how he operates. It may be an NFL quarterback-driven league, but it's not a quarterback-driven John Fox offense. I was stunned just watching what Denver was becoming this past year. So, yeah, but he's a really good coach. And, yeah, I still think there's a spot in the NFL for old school coaches, and John Fox is one of them. And I go back to my statement a couple seconds ago. He gets his guys to really play hard. So I think there's some better times coming, but they do have to figure out the psyche of Jay Cutler.
Lee Hacksaw-Hamilton joins us from the mighty 1090 Sports Radio in San Diego. You can read his stuff at LeeHacksawHamilton.com. Yesterday in the AFC Championship game, we saw the Packers absolutely rout the Colts, but today there's reports now that the Patriots were reportedly deflating footballs yesterday. Is this a story? Is this just product of the fact that we have 2 weeks before the Super Bowl? What do you make of this story about the Patriots deflating footballs?
The correct term is deflate gate.
Oh, deflate gate. I'm sorry. Yes.
I find this one hard to believe. I mean, you know, as a longtime play-by-play guy in the NFL, I've seen a lot of things. I just don't know how anybody can put bogus footballs into the rotation of 12. I mean, the NFL rule is the home team provides 12 footballs 2.5 hours before the game that the officials weigh, inflate properly, et cetera. The only way, and the other angle to the story, it's just developed. I don't know if it's filtered across the border yet. Mike Carey from CBS TV, the referee turned analyst, indicated 3 times the games were stopped, balls were removed because there were questions about balls that were being used on the field. If you connect the dots, you say, something seems amiss there. But I don't understand how you could tamper with the 12 game balls that New England provided on their sidelines for their offense to use. Understand this. The game balls the Broncos, or I'm sure the game balls that New England, Tom Brady would throw, are New England balls. The game balls that the Colts use when they're on offense are balls provided by Indianapolis. But I don't see how anybody could change balls at halftime or during the course of the game. So I don't know where this is going, but you know, if you're a big conspiracy guy, then pay attention.
Lee, we've been talking a lot today about Tom Brady, and I hate saying Tom Brady's legacy, but, you know, he's had a ton of success in the NFL, as has Bill Belichick. Are they the best quarterback-head coach duo we have ever seen in the National Football League?
Well, it's a good question. Belichick has won 21 games in postseason. Tom Brady is going to the Super Bowl for the 6th time. Guys, just think about this, how hard it is to repeat as a franchise and go back to the Super Bowl. How hard it is to rebuild a franchise. This is the 3rd rebuilding job that Brady has quarterbacked. Belichick is not a perfect guy as it relates to roster acquisitions. I mean, he's missed on a pile of draft picks and missed on some free agents, but he's also done a good job in terms of picking up some street people and really making solid contributors to the program. And he's a mad scientist. I mean, I've talked to NFL players that were here that went there and said it's unbelievable the attention to detail and the creative genius. I like to use the term, you guys will recognize this. Remember the Tom Hanks movie about the soldier, Forrest Gump?
Oh, yes.
Remember the phrase, box of chocolates, you never know what you're going to get? New England is a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get. They may come out one weekend and Brady will throw 23 straight passes. They'll come out another weekend and they will run LeGarrette Blount or Cyrus Gray till your nose bleeds and your eyes water. And they, for example, yesterday, that's not a blitz team. They blitzed Andrew Luck 24 out of 33 snaps that he was in the pocket. 24 times he had to move the pocket. He was under such intense pressure. So, like the box of chocolates, you never know what you're going to get from Belichick one day to the next. He's a mad scientist. But, yeah, to the point of your question, this is a pretty eclectic group. And the other thing is, if you look at the makeup of the roster, you see a lot of superstars on the New England roster. I mean, can you tell me there are 4 running backs outside of Gronkowski? I mean, are there any future Hall of Famers at the skill positions? It's a virtual nameless group of offensive linemen. So, yeah, they do a spectacular job. And I think, you know, 2 weeks down the road, we're going to see a lot more surprises out of Belichick's grab bag. And he is bleeping brilliant. He really is. He's eclectic. He's weird. He's strange. He's tough to deal with from a media standpoint. But the guy is bleeping brilliant.
There's no doubt he's a genius, but I wonder why he's the only guy in the field. It's pouring rain yesterday at the game, and he has a sweater on. Everyone else has water, you know, repelling garments like rain jackets and stuff. But there he is in his hoodie pulled over his head, soaking wet. What is that, his lucky sweater, or what's his deal with that thing?
Well, I think that's a fashion statement, guys. Probably 10 years ago, nobody wore hoodies because they thought they were outmoded, outdated. Now everybody wears hoodies. I think that's a trigger point of what Belichick has become as a cult figure. He's a different dude. He really is. I've dealt with him on a couple different levels. So he is a smart, smart guy. He can be reclusive. He can be strange. Like I say, he can be electric, but interesting, interesting gentleman. And, of course, the guy that on the other sidelines in the Super Bowl, he's a special guy. Pete Carroll is cut from a very, very different cloth, and he is creative, and he is dynamic, and he's passionate, and he's positive. It's going to be a really good Super Bowl. If you like chess games, if you like checkers, that's what this thing's going to be about, Pete Carroll versus Belichick.
And that's what we're going to get February 1st, Sunday, 2 weeks from now. The Seahawks taking on the New England Patriots from Glendale, Arizona. Lee Hacksaw Hamilton from the Mighty 1090 Sports Radio in San Diego. Check him out at leehacksawhamilton.com. I appreciate your time this afternoon, Lee. Enjoy the couple weeks off and enjoy Super Bowl 49.
Yeah, glad to do it anytime. By the way, I got an email here, Jason. It's from one of your former coaches. It says, will you stop taking penalties?
He asked me to do those. He sent me out with that attitude.
Thanks, guys. Talk to you again.
Thanks, Lee.